मूकं करोति वाचालं पङ्गुं देवाय तस्मै नमः। ॐ श्री परमात्मने नमः। So in eighth chapter, we saw 13th verse last class. Now we are seeing this benefit of practicing Saguna Brahma Upasanam. And as a sample, Bhagavan gives here Krishna presence, Omkara Upasanam. And we have to remember, Omkaraha can be used for contemplation, also for meditation, which is Saguna Brahma Upasanam. So contemplation is a mental activity, meditation, but it is Nirguna Brahma Upasanam. It is for meditation upon one's own real nature. Whereas Saguna Brahma Upasanam is meditation, a mental activity, wherein the Ishvara is waited upon being different from oneself. And in this chapter, Krishna discusses only Saguna Brahma Upasanam. And last class we saw how the person who practices meditation the whole life will have his meditative power gained through the practice of meditation. As a result of which, he will be able to leave the physical body uttering Omkaraha. Om itekaksharam brahma vyaharan mamanusmaran yav prayati tyajan deham sayati paramam gatim. So the person who lives meditative life and even at the time of death, remembering Bhagavan, uttering Omkaraha, one who leaves the physical body, that person paramam gatim yati, he attains the kramamuktihi, absolute goal. So now we'll continue to, I explained elaborately in the previous class. Now we'll go to new verse. Ananya cheta satatam yo mam smarati nityashah. Ananya cheta satatam yo mam smarati nityashah. Tasyaham sulabhav partha nitya yuktasya yoginah. Ananya cheta satatam yo mam smarati nityashah. Tasyaham sulabhav partha nitya yuktasya yoginah. So we should not forget the context that Bhagavan Krishna is answering Arjuna's questions. He answered all the questions in two verses. And now elaborately he is answering Arjuna's last question. How is it possible for one to remember Bhagavan at the time of death? That was the question asked. And now Arjuna Krishna is answering. In this verse he says, Yaha mam nityashaha smarati. If a person has to remember Bhagavan at the time of death, at the time of death, without remembering, without thinking of family, children, friends and relatives and properties and assets and other fear or fear of other attendants, Yama, etc., without thinking of anything else, if a person has to remember Bhagavan at the time of death. Naturally, Bhagavan says in this verse, now he must be a Nitya Yuktaha. Only for Nitya Yuktaha, a person who is a yogi, a worshipper, meditator, who is Nitya Yuktaha. For him, Bhagavan says, Aham Sulabhaha. Aham Sulabhaha. Sulabhaha means what? Sushtu Labhyaha. Sushtu Labhyaha Sulabhaha. Mean easily, effortlessly, available, accessible. I am easily available, easily accessible for him, tasya. For that person, I am easily accessible, available, that he can think of me at the time of death. Who is this person? Who, for whom I am Sulabhaha? I am easily available, accessible. No, Nitya Yuktasya Yoginaha. Nitya Yuktasya Yoginaha Tasya Aham Sulabhaha. Arjuna, I am easily available, accessible to be remembered at the time of death only for a person who is, only for a meditator, worshipper, who is Nitya Yuktaha, who is steadfast. Steadfast means, who is ever steadfast here means what? Not the knowledge here. No, the person who is always, see, for a Nitya Yuktaha means who is an integrated minded. Who is always integrated, the whole life, who would have lived his life, you know, in conformity with dharma, consciously making proper use of his willpower. And such a person is an integrated minded. And integrated minded is the noble person whose thought, word and deed are in alignment. Why? Because he lived a life of dharma. So the person who lived a life of dharma consciously, making use of his will, a knowledge of right and wrong, now knowing the value of dharma, he alone becomes the noble person, that is, when his thought, word and deed are always in alignment, and he is an integrated person. And he is called Nitya Yuktaha. And how is it possible for him to be Nitya Yuktaha, to be integrated? No, because he was very clear about the purpose of living this life. He was very clear about his priorities in life. He had no doubt, what is my priority? He was very clear about his priority. Which means moksha being the ultimate end was very clear. Knowledge being the only choiceless, knowledge being identical with moksha was very clear, and he was totally committed to the pursuit of knowledge of the truth, which is Bhagavan. For him, priority was always Ishvara. The priority must be only Ishvara. Ultimate priority, absolute goal must be Bhagavan, the knowledge. Therefore, the person, because his priorities in his life were very clear for him, he was able to know the value of dharma. He was able to live a life of dharma. Therefore, he was a person of integrated personality. And therefore, because he was integrated, he was always able to manage his emotions beautifully, effortlessly, that he could remain balanced without elation and dejection. You know, Nitya Yuktaha means don't take it for granted. The three factors are important, okay? For a person to be a Nitya Yuktaha, ever meditative, ever focused person, you know, means he must be integrated minded. For him to be integrated, he must live a life of dharma, for which his priorities must have been very clear. And thereby what happened, he can remain balanced. He is able to, because of his integrity, he is able to manage his thoughts, that he always remains balanced without elation and dejection. And such a person is called Nitya Yuktaha. Nitya Yuktasya Yoginaha, this meditator, not simply a meditator, he also lived a life of Karma Yoga, therefore he is Nitya Yuktaha. And for Nitya Yuktasya Yoginaha, for him, Aham Sulabhaha. Aham easily accessible. Aham Sulabhaha. Nitya Yuktasya Yoginaha, Aham Sulabhaha. Okay. But he must, what now? It is possible for him because Yaha Mam Ananya Chetaha Smarati. Ananya Chetaha. For a person to be a Nitya Yuktaha, to be conscious of his priorities, to be conscious of Dharma, to be integrated, to be balanced always, he must be remembering Bhagavan always. Yaha Mam Smarati, he who remembers me, when Nityashaha, Satatam Nityashaha, Satatam always. Nityashaha means what? Continuously, consistently. Consistently, one day I don't think, I don't, next day I don't think. No. Consistently, continuously, always one who remembers me. How? Ananya Chetaha, without being distracted by anything else. With focused attention, without any distraction. Ananya Chetaha, with a mind which is focused, which is free from distraction. As an undistracted minded, focused minded, always continuously, consistently, he who remembers me, such a person, because for him, priorities are clear. Therefore, he is able to live a life of dharma. Therefore, he is able to be balanced as an integrated person. For such a person, Aham Sulabhaha. I am easily available for him, which means I am easily accessible for him. Bhagavan says this. So it doesn't happen overnight. That's why Nityashaha Ananya Chetaha Satat. Very important for all of us. We should not blame Bhagavan for not supporting, not helping us. Bhagavan makes it very clear. What is your priority? How much do you think of me? Nityashaha, Satatam, Ananya Chetaha. Three words are very important words. Ananya Chetaha. With focused attention, nothing else is in my mind other than Bhagavan. Ananya Chetaha. Not distracted by anything else. Chetaha. Nityashaha Satatam Ha Mam Smarati, he who remembers me, for him, and he alone becomes Nitya Yuktaha. And for such a Nitya Yuktasya, for such a person, Aham Sulabhaha, I am easily accessible, available. Literal, this is the meaning of the verse. See, how is it possible for one to remember Bhagavan at the time of death? So Krishna has been answering, and here also in this verse, 14th verse also, Krishna gives an answer. The same question. It's not something new, which was already discussed in previous verses. So Krishna makes it very clear. One needs to practice these constantly throughout one's life in order to be able to remember Bhagavan at the time of death. As he says, we are going to see it again. Abhyasena tu kaunteya vairagyena cha grihyate. One has to really practice repeatedly. Only the whole life must be, life of remembrance of Bhagavan. Only then it is possible for a person to remember Bhagavan at the time of death.
Mamu petya punar janma, dukkhalayam ashashvatam. Napnuvanti mahatmanaha, samsiddhim paramam gataha.
So, he's made
Mamu petya punar janma dukkhalayam ashashvatam napnuvanti mahatmanaha samsiddhim paramam gataha.
Before we go to this verse, let me remind you one more thing. To reach Bhagavan, to attain Bhagavan, thereby to attain moksha, attainment of Bhagavan in terms of knowledge itself is attainment of moksha. Then for such a person, there is no samsara. That is made clear in this verse. But to reach Bhagavan, the previous verse Bhagavan said, Bhagavan is easily accessible, available for the Nitya Yuktaha. So how can I be a Nitya Yuktaha? How can I be ever focused? How can I be an ever focused person? That means, how can I focus my mind ever on Bhagavan, always on Bhagavan, without any distraction? This is here for this. The answer given is, see, when we live our lives, we are playing different roles and we have relationships. In every relationship, there's a role play as a husband, as a wife, as a mother, as a daughter, as a son, as a professional. We do play, every individual has to play so many roles. And all those roles are incidental, based on incidental relationship. We should not forget all the roles I am playing are all based on incidental relationship. But there is absolute permanent relationship with Ishvara. We should not forget that, but we do forget. It is like saying, even though we are born here, we live here, we have people to relate to, we have different roles to play. Basically, if you remember this fact, our physical body, our mind, our pranas, our physiological functions, our sense powers, our antahkaranam, all of them, all our abode of enjoyment, instruments of enjoyment, they are all here as part of the whole cosmos, which is Ishvara. Our physical body is part of Ishvara, the whole. Our sense organs are part of Ishvara, the whole. Our each seeing power, hearing power, etc. is part of Ishvara, the whole. Our physiological functions are part of Samashti Prana, Hiranyagarbha, the whole. Our Antahkaranam is part of the Samashti Manaha, Hiranyagarbha, the whole. And our physical body is part of Ishvara, the Virat, the whole. So there is no gross physical, individual physical body which is outside of Ishvara. There is no individual mind which is outside of Hiranyagarbha. There is no individual prana which is outside of independent of Hiranyagarbha, Samashti Prana. There is no sense powers which are independent of Hiranyagarbha, the Samashti Sukshma Prapancha. Therefore, the Hiranyagarbha, the subtle manifestation is the totality of the manifestation is given, is Ishvara, looked upon as Ishvara. The entire Sukshma Prapancha is manifestation of knowledge which is Ishvara, otherwise called Hiranyagarbha. The entire gross manifestation is also a manifestation of knowledge which is Ishvara Virat. Therefore, there is no gross physical body which exists independent of the Samashtihi, the total Ishvara. There's no individual mind and sense organ, subtle body which is independent of the total Hiranyagarbha, the Ishvara. It is like saying exactly there's no way which enjoys its existence as a wave independently without the ocean being around. Always the wave's connection is with the ocean. The basic connection, wave is always connected to the ocean. Because that is where it comes out, that is where it exists, that is where it resolves. Similarly here, every one of all our physical bodies, our mind, our sense organs are always part of the Samashti. It comes into existence from Samashti, exists in Samashti, and dissolves in Samashti, the total. Every individual being now comes out, manifests from the total, exists in total, resolves in total. There's no individual independently without the Samashti. Therefore, there's a basic connection. The absolute relationship with this is called Samashti is Ishvara. So the Vashti has no independent existence outside of the Samashti. If you remember this, you are connected to Bhagavan. This is the relationship which will last forever. Know why? Last forever means what? Our connection, relationship with Ishvara is absolute, which is never, we are never away from Ishvara. But what about other relationships? I play the role of a mother or a father or as a friend or a student or a teacher. All these relationships are relative relationships which are here temporarily, permanently, which will go one day. If we remember this, Pujya Swamiji used to say, whatever the lyric you are singing, whichever raga it is sung, but there is behind all these ragas in between, ragas change, the melodies change, the lyrics change. You know what is one thing which is always unchanging behind? That is the Shruti. The Shruti is continuously there. Shruti is the same. Shruti never stops. Same Shruti for all ragas. Same Shruti for all lyrics. Lyrics change. Ragas, melodies change. You change from Mohanam to Hindolam, Hindolam to Charukeshi. But the Shruti is the same. Isn't it? The Tambura Shruti is the same. That doesn't change. Like that, our connection with Samashti is always the same. Other relationships come and go. If you remember, and this is actually, it is, therefore, ultimately, ultimately, my goal is Bhagavan. That's also remembered. Then you never forget in your life. That is how, it's not simply remembering Bhagavan, not forgetting one's inseparability from Bhagavan. Even though I do not understand anything Ishvara, still the fact is that I am always inseparable from Bhagavan the whole. Even if I play my different roles, in entertaining relationships, still I should not forget the fact that I'm always non-separate from the whole, physically, emotionally, I'm non-separate from the whole. So temporary
incidental relationships, playing different roles can come and go, but fundamental relationship is always inseparable from Bhagavan, the whole. Okay. If this fact is, my fundamental relationship with Bhagavan is ever remembered, then that is how one can discover one's own self being a devotee. So not forgetting one's fundamental relationship with Ishvara, the whole, is actually discovering oneself being a devotee. Otherwise, you are a role. You are just playing a role. In being a mother, you can be a devotee. Being a father, you can be a devotee. In being a sister, you can be a devotee. In playing different roles also, you continue to be a devotee. If we remember our fundamental relationship with Bhagavan, the whole. You know, this very apt example is this ocean wave example. Where does the wave come from originally? It comes originally from the ocean. Where does it exist? It exists in ocean. Where does it resolve? It goes back to the ocean. And what about the waves, relationship with other waves? Oh, other relationship, no, it comes and goes, incidental. The wave-wave relationship is incidental, whereas wave-ocean relationship is fundamental. Similarly, our body, minds and complex and our own existence here is what? With Bhagavan, the samashti, the total is fundamental. And with every individual relationship, what now? Incidental. We can nothing wrong. We can have incidental relationships, playing different roles. If we do not forget our fundamental relationship with Bhagavan, the whole, then we are Bhaktaha. That is how you become a Bhaktaha. Isn't it? Or you discover our oneself being a devotee. And such a person alone can always be balanced. And he is called Nitya Yuktaha. Only for such a person, Ishvara is accessible. Okay. So then Bhagavan says, suppose if a person, the meditator, who is a karma yogi, who is also committed to dharma, for whom goal is very clear, and for such a person, naturally, he attains Bhagavan. Easy for him to remember Bhagavan at the time of death, attain Bhagavan also. Okay. Mamu petya punar janma dukkhalayam ashashvatam napnuvanti mahatmanah samsiddhim paramam gatah. Now, Bhagavan says, having attained Bhagavan, what happens to the devotee? Will he come back? No. That is made very clear here. Mam upetya punaha punarjanma na apnuvanti mahatmanaha. Bhagavan says here, mahatmanaha. Such great people, who are the great minded? You have to remember the previous verses, the word Nitya Yuktaha is a Mahatma. Nitya Yuktaha is a Mahatma because he is ever steadfast, which means he is ever focused. And for such a person, for those great minded people who are always meditative, who never forget, who are always devotees. Who is a real devotee here? Who does not forget his fundamental relationship with Bhagavan in spite of, even though he has relative incidental relationships playing different roles with other individuals, thereby who is focused in his goal and who is always remembering Bhagavan, such a person is Nityuktaha Mahatma. And those such great Nityuktaha, Mahatmanaha, great people, focused people, Mam Apnavanti, Mam Etya, Mam Etya, first of all, they attained me. Having attained me, they remain one with me. They attain the absolute success in terms of moksha. Paramam samsiddhim gataha. They attain the absolute goal of moksha. What is parama samsiddhihi? Moksha. Samsiddhihi itself means, siddhihi means success. Samsiddhihi means absolute success. And what is the absolute success? Parama, most exalted of all accomplishments, it is moksha. Parama samsiddhihi is moksha. Paramam samsiddhim gataha. Those people attain moksha. Mam upetya paramam samsiddhim gataha. So having this attained Bhagavan in terms of jnanam, they attain moksha simultaneously. And such people punarjanma na apnuvanti. They again, they do not have rebirth. Punarjanma na apnuvanti. And what is punarjanma here? He is describing dukkhalayam. This punarjanma means rebirth, means being born, means it is in a samsara. Samsara means what? This life of transmigration, being born again means definitely it is associated with misery, sorrow. Dukkhalayam, the rebirth itself is what? Abode of dukkham, sorrow. Dukkhasya alayam. It is a place of sorrow, an abode of sorrow. And then ashashvatam. No, it is temporary, impermanent, ephemeral, an abode of sorrow is this rebirth. And they do not attain. They do not attain rebirth, but they attain moksha. Attainment of Bhagavan, will it result in rebirth? Will result in moksha. Bhagavan makes it very clear. Don't have any doubts. Once people attain me in terms of jnanam, then they definitely attain moksha. They do not have rebirth. So attainment of Bhagavan is actually attainment of knowledge of Bhagavan Swarupam, being one's own self. Where one's individuality is totally resolved, and there all wrong notions go, and what is only moksha. Bhagavan 100% he clarifies it. Having attained me, they attain moksha. They do not again get into samsara, which is an abode of sorrow. Why it is sorrow? Even though life is not only life of sorrow, life is of both pains and pleasures, pairs of opposites. Whenever we go through desirable situation, again followed by undesirable situation, we go through both pain and pleasure. And when you're enjoying pleasure, after enjoying pleasure, when we have to go through the pain, and that pain becomes worst pain, not ordinary pain. See, going through pain after enjoying pleasure is a worst pain. It is why he says the samsara itself is what? Rebirth means it is abode of misery, abode of sorrow, abode of pain. And it is, definitely it is temporary. It is not permanent. Therefore, and people do not have purarjanma, they attain moksha. So, mam upetya mahatmanaha, mam upetya samsiddhim paramam gataha, punaha dukkhalayam ashashvatam purarjanma na apnuvanti. It is made very clear. So, now you have to, in this context here, you have to remember Arjuna's last question. That question, Bhagavan actually completes his answer for Arjuna's question. Now he also says in this verse, they attain me. if people remember Bhagavan throughout the life, if they always remember their fundamental relationship with Bhagavan, and in spite of having their relative relationships, incident relationship with playing other roles, and if they live a life of dharma with a commitment to Bhagavan, and if they always are focused, means they're able to remember Bhagavan at the time of death also. And such people attain Bhagavan, no doubt. Therefore, here Bhagavan concludes his answer for Arjuna's last question. Hereafter, now until the 22nd verse, hereafter, Bhagavan is going to discuss the twofold lakshams. What twofold laksham? Prayas and Shreyas. Prayas involves Dharmartha Kama, and Shreyas is Moksha. Between these twofold ends, Artha Kama Dharmas together constitute prayas, and Shreyas is Moksha. Moksha is a spiritual end. Moksha is the absolute end. Moksha is the ultimate end. Whereas Artha Kama Dharmas are material ends, and they are temporary, they are relative ends, not the absolute ends. And here, your person has this, if you is clear about these ends, then he can live his life accordingly. So the spiritual end, we say moksha, or we say knowledge of the truth, but here in this context, we can say Bhagavan. If Bhagavan becomes the ultimate goal, Bhagavan is knowledge. Bhagavan stands for jnanam. Bhagavan stands for moksha. If Bhagavan is the ultimate goal, then he has the right priority. Otherwise, Artha Kama Dharmas become the ultimate goals, then naturally, and all those other than the reality, other than the knowledge of the truth, other than Ishvara, other than Moksha, all those Artha Kama Dharmas are the ends. They need to be pursued for living the life, no doubt about it. Not that they should be avoided. Prayers in terms of Artha Kama Dharma should be pursued in life for living the life. But they should not become the ultimate goal. If they become the ultimate goal, and we have to pay for choosing them as ultimate goals, because they have their own defects. Because all of them, when you in accomplishing Artha Kama Dharma, there is the pain is involved. In preserving them, in retaining them, the pain is involved. In enjoying them, there's pain is involved. In losing them, there is pain is involved. Therefore, there's no such a thing called Artha Kama Dharma, the material end, which is not mixed with pain. Accomplishment, enjoyment, retention, in losing of these ends always is mixed with pain. Therefore, they have this defect of always being mixed with pain. This is the first defect. Second doshaha, the second defect is how much our Artha Kama Dharmas we pursue. Still, there's always another person who possesses, owns, enjoys more than what you have. There's always that you become comparable person, which means you can never be an incomparable person in terms of possessing Artha Kama Dharmas. Therefore, there'll always be dissatisfaction. Why you are dissatisfied? how much are you possess, still dissatisfaction will be there. Irrespective of what you are, who you are, what you possess, what you do not possess, even if you possess everything, and in spite of that, there will be dissatisfaction. That is the nature of Artha Kama Dharma. His second defect. So it is Artha Kama Dharmas involve pain, they're mixed with the pain, and there is dissatisfaction. And not only that, and when we enjoy them for living this life, naturally, helplessly, we become emotionally dependent on them. They have the problem of being enslaving us. We become dependent on them emotionally. Therefore, they bind us. They have the capacity to bind, which means what? They can enslave. We become emotionally dependent. Therefore, the third defect is they can bind us. So they're mixed with the pain. There'll be absolute dissatisfaction always in possessing them, in losing them, enjoying them. And also they will bind us. They contribute for bondage. These are three defects all the Artha Kama Dharmas have. If they're all material ends. So the end, the spiritual end, moksha, Bhagavan becomes ultimate end, then that is liberating absolute goal. So here, Bhagavan makes it very clear. Once you attained Bhagavan in terms of jnanam, naturally, dukkhalayam ashashvatam punarjanma mahatmanah na prapnuvanti. Mahatmas do not, these wise people, they do not have punarjanma and they only attain permanent moksha. Now, abrahma bhuvana lokah punaravartinorjuna. Abrahma bhuvana lokah punaravartinorjuna. Mamupetya tu kaunteya punarjanmana vidyate. Abrahma bhuvana lokah punaravartinorjuna. Mamupetya tu kaunteya punarjanmana vidyate. Abrahma bhuvana lokah punaravartinorjuna. Mamu petya tu kaunteya punarjanmana vidyate. How many times Bhagavan should tell us? How many times Bhagavan is telling us? Mamu petya punarjanmana vidyate. Already he has said that. Don't think I am repeating, okay? Krishna is repeating. Mamu petya punarjanmana vidyate. Having attained me, Arjuna, there is no rebirth. There's no rebirth means there's no more sorrow. There's no more sorrow means there is no more bondage. There is freedom. There is moksha. Once you attained Bhagavan, then you are free forever. You have become free from bondage for good. Mam upetya kaunteya punarjanma na vidyate. So Bhagavan is repeating, therefore attainment of Bhagavan in terms of jnanam must become our ultimate goal. Our priority, Bhagavan must become our priority. Bhagavan must become our ultimate goal. Our fundamental relationship with Bhagavan, the everlasting Bhagavan, should not be forgotten throughout our life. Because I'm repeating again this sentence,
in playing different roles, we do have relationships. They're all incidental relationships which come and go temporary. Whereas a fundamental relationship is, you know, she is always there with Bhagavan, which is the whole, which should not be forgotten. So Bhagavan being ultimate goal should not be forgotten. Therefore, I should remember whether I understand the Shastram or not, the whole life, my life must be lived in such a way that I do not forget Bhagavan. Not only do not forget Bhagavan, I remember Bhagavan being my fundamental connection. Bhagavan, relationship with Bhagavan is the fundamental one, that Bhagavan is my ultimate goal. So the whole life must be a worshipful life. So Bhagavan can be remembered at the time of death also. Only then it is possible to attain Bhagavan. Once you attain Bhagavan, then there is no bondage. There is no moksha. And we attain Bhagavan means what? We earn enough grace to understand Bhagavan. Once you understand Bhagavan, that is what attainment of Bhagavan, then there is no bondage. Mametya punarjanma na vidyate. That is made very clear. And here he says, whatever meditation you practice, whatever karmas you perform, how much ever special punyam you earn, and with all the punyam, the buying power, even if you go to any of the higher lokas, not only the pleasures and enjoyable in this world, even with the more abundance of punyam you have earned through practice of meditation and performance of rituals and karma, etc., all forms of righteous activities you do, you earn punyam, as a result of which, even if you go to higher lokas, any of the lokas you go to, what is the highest of the lokas? Brahma loka, Satya loka. Even if you go to highest of the lokas, you have, going to give the list of all the lokas now, okay? Brahma Bhuvana Lokaha. Any of the lokas, Punaravartinaha. Wherever you go, you have to return. Punaravarti Lokaha. Moksha is the only Apunaravarti Lokaha. Bhagavan is the only Apunaravarti. That's not Loka. Bhagavan is not a Loka. Bhagavan is the locus. Bhagavan is the ultimate abode for everything. Attainment of Bhagavan in terms of knowledge then is permanent. There's no need to come back. Apart from Bhagavan's knowledge of Bhagavan, going to any loka, having earned any amount of punyam, we have to come back. Return to this world of mortals, assuming the same old human body, or not same old human body, assuming the human body like this, what we have, or even worse forms other than other bodies also, we do not know. So, it is punaravarti, means there is no way up, there is no moksha there. Punaravarti means what? We have to return to this world, assuming a body, we have to be born again, which means there is no moksha. That is made very clear. A brahma bhuvana lokaha punaravartinaha. He Arjuna, he says, see, lokaha, a brahma bhuvana lokaha means what? All the worlds which are above. Now we are in the bhulokaha, the world of mortals. Above the bhuloka, we have what now? Other worlds. Shastram talks about it. Therefore, we accept it. There are other worlds. And they are Brahma, Bhuvanath. Bhuvanath, A Brahma, Bhuvanath. Lokaha. From the Bhuvarloka until the Brahmaloka. From Bhuvarloka. Bhuvanath, we heard now, from Bhuvarloka until the Brahmaloka. We have many higher worlds. Bhuvanath, Abrahma lokaha means what? All the worlds, beginning from Bhuvarloka until the Brahma loka, all the worlds, whichever loka we go to, no loka we can stay permanently. And they are, why? All, from all the lokas we have to come back. We have to return. Because punaravartinaha means all those worlds are meant for returning only, subject to get return. Whereas if you understand Bhagavan, if you attain Bhagavan in terms of jnanam, then we don't need to return. Punarjanma na vidyate. So Bhagavan, even though Shastram talks very highly of the higher lokas, the enjoyment of heavenly pleasures, etc., we have no idea of what the enjoyment of heavenly pleasure is. Even if however great they are, still we should remember the limitation that they are not permanent. No heavenly object can give us permanent sukham. They all will give us only temporary sukham, which means there is no moksha there, even in higher lokas. Therefore, we heard about the swargaha, swargaloka. So our scriptures do talk about not only one swargaloka, one heaven. They talk about many higher worlds. There's no permanent swargaha. There's no permanent heaven. The adjective permanent is wrong to go with the word heaven. Heaven means temporary. Any world is temporary. Any world is time bound. There no world, there's no world, no location where there is permanent happiness. Timeless world is not there. Everything will come to an end. So if we are here in Bhuloka, and above the Bhuloka, we have Bhuvarlokaha, Suvarlokaha, Maharlokaha, Janalokaha, Tapolokaha, and Satyalokaha. Satyalokaha is called Brahma Lokaha, which is the highest of all the worlds. So Bhuvaha, Suvaha, Mahaha, Janaha, Tapaha, Satyaha. Okay, there are six lokas above where we are. So seven above, seven below. So below, let us not worry about below now. We have to have only papam to go below. So if now we do special karmas and special meditation practices and earn a lot of punyam, go to other lokas, even if we go to other lokas, then all of them are time bound. All of them are now meant subject to, send us back. We mean what now? Once we go, we have to come back. Punaravartinaha. There's no absolute security or absolute happiness, absolute sukham in any of those lokas. Which means, but then what is permanent then? What is that permanent moksha? What is permanent freedom for me? What is that permanent happiness here? What is that attaining which I do not return at all? Bhagavan makes it very clear. Mam upetya kaunteya punarjanma na vidyate. So only having come to me, having attained me, having reached me, Arjuna, there is no rebirth for a person. There's no rebirth. Punarjanma na vidyate. So how can I reach Bhagavan? Bhagavan is the ultimate goal. Bhagavan is the moksha. How can I reach Bhagavan? You have to think only of Bhagavan. Either you understand Bhagavan's swarupam as your own swarupam through Shravanam and Nidhyasanam, then you can attain Bhagavan here itself, attain Jivan Mukti. Otherwise, you think, you remember Bhagavan, worship Bhagavan, pray to Bhagavan, always remember Bhagavan, understand your fundamental relationship with Bhagavan, understand other relationships being relative, incidental, then live a life of dharma, always, being focused on Bhagavan, then you can remember Bhagavan at the time of death also. Then it is possible to attain Bhagavan. What you think of at the time of death, you will become. So simply thinking of Bhagavan at the time of death is not at all possible, for which a person must have lived a life remembering Bhagavan always.
Sahasrayuga pariyantam.
Is it clear now?
Sahasrayuga pariyantam. Aharyad brahmano viduhu. Sahasrayuga pariyantam. Aharyad brahmano viduhu. Sahasrayuga pariyantam. Aharyad brahmano viduhu. Ratrim yuga sahasrantam. Ratrim yuga sahasrantam. Teho ratra vido janaha. Ratrim yuga sahasrantam. Teho ratra vido janaha. Sahasrayuga pariyantam. Sahasrayuga pariyantam. Aharyad brahmano viduhu. Aharyad brahmano viduhu. Ratrim yuga sahasrantam. Ratrim yuga sahasrantam. Teho ratra vido janaha. Teho ratra vido janaha.
So here, te ahoratra vidaha janaha. Te ahoratra vidaha janaha. Te means those. Te janaha, those people are ahoratra vidaha. Ahoratra vidaha means what? Ahaha means day. Ratri means night. Aho ratra means day and night. Vidaha means people who know. Okay? Those who know. Those who know very well day and night. It means those who are conversant with day and night. Those who know the day and night. People who know day and night or conversant with day and night are the people, they know yad sahasra yuga pariyantam yad ahaha te viduhu. Those people know. They know the day. They know the day. They know the day of whom? Brahmanaha ahaha. They know the day of Brahma. So people who know this day and night, I'll explain to you, okay? They know the day of Brahma. We have to we all have a knowledge of day and night. We know a day means for what? For us, day means 24 hours. Day. 24 hours constitute a day. This is our knowledge of day. And when you fall asleep, then we can say it is night. We know how many hours we have a day, how many hours there is the night. our knowledge of day and night is very, very limited knowledge. But there are people who have thorough knowledge of day and night, and they know not only day of human beings, they know the day of even Brahma. You know, the day of Brahma also. Brahmanaha ahaha viduhu. Brahmanaha ahaha means day of Brahma. One day of Brahma. They know. Therefore, so te ahoratra vidaha janaha Brahmanaha ahaha viduhu. They also know the night of Brahma. They know the day and night of Brahma. We only know the day and night of our day and night. Our knowledge of day and night is very, very limited. But there are people, ahoratra vidaha janaha, who have thorough knowledge of day and night. And they know not only the day of human beings, they know the day and night of Brahma. What is a day of Brahma? What is the difference between our day and the day of Brahma? He says, Sahasra Yuga Pariyantam. Ahaha. Brahmanaha ahaha. Sahasra Yuga Sahasranta Ratrihi Sahasra Yuga Pariyantam Ahaha. Now in this verse, Krishna makes it very clear what is a day of Brahma and what is night of Brahma. That is made very clear. Who is Brahma here? Let me make it very clear. In Vedanta Shastram, when you study, we come across these two words. Brahman Nakaranta Napumsaka Linga Shabdaha. The neuter gender word Brahman, the nominative is a Brahma, which implies, which stands for the absolute reality, which is of the nature of limitlessness. It is pure knowledge, pure consciousness, we say. Existence. But there's a nakaranta pullinga shabda. There's a masculine gender word ending in nakara. There is Brahma. Both are nakaranta shabdas. Brahman shabda. But what is difference? One Brahman shabda is a masculine gender word. Another Brahman shabda is a neuter gender word. The neuter gender word nominative is Brahma, which means the reality. Whereas a masculine gender word Brahma, not short, Brahma, also nakaranta shabda, which stands for Hiranyagarbha. Who is Hiranyagarbha? Who is Brahma? Hiranyagarbha, Brahma is a synonym of the word Hiranyagarbha. Who is Hiranyagarbha? Hiranyagarbha is a title given to Ishvara. When does Ishvara get his title as Hiranyagarbha Brahma? When you look at the entire whole subtle manifestation is looked upon as Ishvara, yes, Ishvara gets this title Hiranyagarbha. Why? Subtle manifestation alone becomes the activator of the gross manifestation. The gross manifestation is possible because of the subtle manifestation. Gross activation of the gross universe is possible because of the subtle manifestation. Subtle manifestation is looked upon as Ishvara. Therefore, Hiranyagarbha, and that Hiranyagarbha, the Samashti Sukshva Prapanchaha, the subtle universe, subtle manifestation's entirety, is given the title of Hiranyagarbha as Ishvara. And that Brahma, subtle manifestation alone, is here, the day of that Brahma is mentioned here. Okay? Which is Ishvara's day and night. Hiranyagarbha's day and night is different from our day and night. And there are people who know Hiranyagarbha's day and night. What is Hiranyagarbha's day? What is the duration of Hiranyagarbha's day? What is the duration of Hiranyagarbha's night? It is said here in this verse. Okay, let us see here. So Bhagavan Krishna mentions the duration of Hiranyagarbha's span of life. Hiranyagarbha also is subject to time. Look at this. Hiranyagarbha is also subject to time. Ishvara's status also will go. So Hiranyagarbha's, Brahma's span of life, the duration of span of life. How long does Hiranyagarbha survive? What is the longevity of Hiranyagarbha? That is discussed in this verse. So, we all definitely should remember, first of all, there is something called Yugaha. You know, there are totally four Yugas. Yuga itself is a period of time. Say duration of time. And there are four Yugas. We have to understand four Yugas first of all to understand one day of Brahma. So, which means four Yugas, we have Krita Yugaha, then Treta Yugaha, Dwapara Yugaha, and Kali Yugaha. Please remember these four Yugas first. Krita Yugaha, Krita Yugaha. Krita Yugaha, the Sanskrita, the same thing. Krita Yugaha, Treta Yugaha, Dwapara Yugaha, and Kali Yugaha. There are four Yugas, first of all four Yugas, and now actually if you ask all in shape from Shrimad, all Puranas, we make out that now we are living in the Kali Yugaha. And which period of Kali Yuga, yes, exactly we cannot say, but now we are living in Kali Yuga. So how to calculate this time? So all our Puranas make it very clear that Kali Yuga consists of 4,32,000 years. 4,32,000 years. 4,32,30. 3 zeros you had to put. 4,32,000 years constitute Kali Yuga. How many years have gone? How many years have yet to be completed? Don't ask me all that. Okay. But Shastra talks about, so we are living in Kali Yuga. And Kali Yuga has 4,32,000 years. If you ask me, how was it calculated? Who calculated this? How do we know this? You say, this calculation of these years of Kali Yuga and all the Yugas only is presented by our own scriptures. Our scriptures present the calculation of the number of years of each Yuga. So Kali Yuga consists of 4,32,000 years. And Kali Yuga is the last fourth Yuga. Suppose now the Yuga which is before the Kali Yuga is Dwapara Yuga. So how Shastram, scripture calculate the Dwapara Yuga years? See, if Kali Yuga consists of 4,32,000 years into 2, okay, 4,32,000 into 2 means you double it. It becomes 8,64,000 years. 8,64,000 years form constitute the Dwapara Yuga. Now easy. This is how the Shastram presents the calculation. Now before Dwapara Yuga, there is a Treta Yuga. And Treta Yuga, the period of Treta, the duration of Treta Yuga is actually Kali Yuga years into 3. Which means 3 times. So 4,32,000 years, 3 times. Now form, those number of years constitute Treta Yuga. And easy to now make out how many years constitute the Krita Yuga. Krita Yuga, so Kali Yuga, now 4 times. The Krita Yuga has years 4 times more than Kali Yuga. There were 4,32,000 years into 4, those many years. Can easily say for constitute the Krita Yuga. So include Kali Yuga into 2 is equal to the period of Dwapara Yuga. Kali Yuga into 3 is equal to the period of Treta Yuga. Kali Yuga into 4 is equal to the period of Krita Yuga. Like we have 4 yugas. And all the 4 yugas together constitute one Mahayuga. No, Chatur Yugas constitute what now? All 4 yugas to put together is what? One Mahayuga. So Mahayuga is called Chatur Yuga. What is this, the period of Chatur Yuga? Say, you can say 43,20,000 years constitute one Chatur Yuga, which is one Mahayuga. Now, one Yuga, imagine. Like this, 2,000 Chatur Yugas, 2,000 Chatur, all the 4 Yugas now calculate, 2,000 Chatur Yugas form one day of Brahma. One day of Hiranyagarbha is 2,000 Chatur Yugas. So 2,000 Chatur Yugas should go for one day of Brahma to come to an end. So like that. And Brahma also has, like human beings have 100 years of life. Full span of life of a human being is 100 years, human years. But Brahma also has 100 years. 100 years what? 365 days is 1 year. And 365 days into 100. We can calculate how many. So 1 day of Brahma is 2000 Chatur Yugas. Is the form the period of one day of Brahma, and Brahma has to live 100 years. So 100, 365 into 2000 into Chaturyugas. We have to calculate. That is the period of Brahma. Brahma's longevity. Brahma's span of life. Have you got it? Is it clear? Repeat again. Four yugas into 2000 into 360, only 1 year, 100 years. 2000 into 100 into 365. A big calculation, okay? Very big mathematics. That is one Hiranyagarbha's lifespan. Again, when the day comes to an end, after 2000 into 4 yugas into 100 into 365 days, then Brahmaji falls asleep. And when he falls asleep, that is called what? Pralaya. Then how long does he sleep? Okay, so this is the lifespan of Brahma. So we say in when we perform pujas, Adya Brahmanaha Parardha Dvaye. Now in Kali Yuga, we are Dvayam, Ardha Dvayam. Parardha Dvayam, what now? Because then Brahma is 50, before 50 years, Pura Parardha. Then after 50 years, Uttara Parardha. A Brahma. So anyway, this is the longest lifespan of Brahma. So Sahasra Yuga Pariyanta Ratrihi. Ratrihi is a feminine gender word. Sahasra Yuga Pariyanta Ratrihi. Let's read the sloka now. Sahasra Yuga Pariyantam Ahaha. Sahasra Yuga Pariyantam Ahaha. Sahasra Yuga Pariyanta Ratrihi. Totally 2000. Okay. 1000. Sahasra Yuga Pariyanta Ratrihi. Sahasra Yuga Pariyanta Ahaha. So 1004 yugas is day of Brahma. 1004 yugas equal to night. So totally 2000 chaturyugas form one total day of Brahma. Sahasra yuga pariyantam ahaha. 1000 chaturyugas constitute one day of Brahma. Sahasra yuga pariyanta ratrihi. 1000 Chaturyugas constitute Brahma's night. So totally day and night of Brahma, one day of Brahma consists of 2000 Chaturyugas. And like that, Brahmaji has 365 into 100 days. 365 into 100 days. You can calculate. That is Brahmaji's lifespan, longevity. Is it clear? Okay. Sahasra Yuga Pariyantam Ahaha. Sahasra Yuga Pariyanta Ratrihi. Why Pariyantam Ahaha? Pariyanta Ratrihi. Because ahaha is neuter gender word. Therefore, Sahasra Yuga Pariyantam Ahaha. 1000 chaturyugas constitute the day time of Brahma. Sahasra yuga paryanta ratri. Ratri is a feminine gender word. The word paryanta. 1000 chaturyugas constitute the night of Brahma. Totally, Brahmanaha ahaha aho ratri, day and night of Brahma. Now, 2000 chaturyugas constitute one day of night and day of Brahma. Like that, he has 100 years. 3000, you can calculate the day. 100 into 365 days he has. Therefore, what do we want to say? Ahoratra vidaha janaha means people who have studied, understood this Veda Shastram, our Vedic scriptures, and also other scriptural literature, such as Puranas, etc. And those people who have studied, who have the profound knowledge of scriptural literature, and they know, they understand what now, this longevity, lifespan of Brahma. Is it clear now? So, in description of. Now, we go next. So what? If that is what is Brahma's day, Brahma's night, Brahma's span of life, is that much means. Now, what is there for us? Let us see next. Avyaktadvyaktaya sarvaha. Avyaktadvyaktaya sarvaha. Prabhavantyaharagame. Prabhavantyaharagame. Ratyagame praliyante tatraiva vyakta samgnyake avyaktadvyaktaya sarvaha prabhavantyaharagame ratyagame praliyante tatraiva vyakta samgnyake avyaktadvyaktaya tadvyaktaya sarvaha prabhavantyah ragame ratryagame praliyante tatraiva vyakta samgnyake. Remember why Bhagavan makes so much of effort to make us understand the Hiranyagarbha's day and night, Hiranyagarbha's span of life. A, the whole Jagat, including our dear body, minds and complex, all the forms, names and functions which constitute the whole Jagat will become unmanifest when Brahma falls asleep. And he wakes up, the whole Jagat again comes into manifestation. Okay, this is what is we need to understand now. That's called our srishtihi and the pralayaha. Brahma's, when Brahma wakes up, that is Jagat srishtihi. When Brahma falls asleep, Jagat pralaya. When we fall asleep, world disappears for us. When we wake up, the world comes into existence for us. Similarly, when Bhagavan, Hiranyagarbha, falls asleep. Sahasra yuga paryanta. No. 1004 yugas he keeps awake one day. And again he falls asleep. Whole world becomes unmanifest. And then again 1004 yugas he falls fast. He remains fast asleep. That is why Bhagavan wanted to make us understand Okay, look at this. He says, sarvaha, sarvaha vyaktayaha. Sarvaha vyaktayaha. See, vyaktihi is singular word. Vyaktihi means manifestation. Vyaktihi means individual manifestation is called a vyaktihi. Now every one of us, you can say individual being is also called a vyaktihi. But vyaktayaha means all manifestations. All manifestations in their entirety, sarvaha vyaktayaha, all manifestations in their entirety, sarvaha vyaktayaha, prabhavanti, sarvaha vyaktayaha prabhavanti means all manifestations in their entirety. See, vyaktayaha, manifestations in their entirety, prabhavanti. Prabhavanti means come into existence. Come into existence. From where? Avyaktat. Avyaktat means from the unmanifest. Avyaktam means unmanifest. Avyaktam means unmanifest. Vyaktihi means manifestation. So sarvaha vyaktayaha, all manifestations in their entirety become manifest, come into existence, prabhavanti, from where? Avyaktat, from the unmanifest. From being unmanifest, all manifestations become manifest, come into existence. When? That is made clear here. Aharagame. Aharagame. Ahahade agamaha coming. Aharagame, when the day of Brahma begins. When the day of Brahma comes, when the day comes, Brahma's day comes, and the day approaches, all the manifestations in their entirety emerge, come into existence, come into manifestation from the unmanifest. Then again, Ratriyagame. Again, when the night of Brahma comes, when Brahma's Hiranyagarbha's night comes, Ratriyagame. The night comes, all the manifestations in their entirety, tatrayeva avyakta samyake praliyante, all the manifestations in their entirety resolve, become unmanifest, resolve into that unmanifest itself. Resolve into that unmanifest itself. Ratriyagame, whose night? Not our night. When our night comes, our world disappears. When we wake up, our world comes into existence. Exactly when you wake up from sleep, this Jagrat Prapanchaha comes into existence. When you fall asleep, Jagrat Prapanchaha disappears. Similarly here, when Brahma's, Hiranyagarbha's day comes, Aharagame Avyaktat Vyaktayaha Prabhavanti, from the unmanifest, all the manifestations come into being. Again, Ratriyagame, when the night, Brahma's, Hiranyagarbha's night comes, all the beings in their entirety resolved into that unmanifest. Avyakta samgnyake praliyante. Avyakta samgnyakam. They resolve into that which is known as avyaktam. They resolve into that which is known as avyaktam. Avyakta samgnyake praliyante ratriyagame. So what is the lesson now? You don't worry, the worlds go and come, you are always safe. Nothing happens to you. நீ கல்லுளி மங்கனப்பா, உனக்கு ஒன்னும் கிடையாது சுவாமிஜி. Nothing happens to you, you are safe. The worlds come and go. This is talking about Mahapralaya. Isn't it? So Srishti and Pralaya, we understand. In between there is Sthiti. Okay. Avyaktadvyaktayas sarvaha prabhavantyaharagame ratryagame praliyante tatraivavyakta samgnyake. See, now we understood first what is one day of Brahma and one day of, one night of Brahma. Then we understood how all four yugas, 2004 yugas constitute Brahma's one day and night. Then we understood how Brahma also lives 100 years of Brahma. We understood that. 100 years mean 365 days, constitute 1 year. So 100 years of Brahma's span of life, we understood in the previous verse. Now here in the 18th verse, Krishna makes it very clear. When Brahmaji, what happens in Brahmaji's day? What happens in Brahmaji's night? What happens our day? Our day, the world shines. In our night, world disappears. It means, okay. Similarly, what happens in Brahmaji's day? What happens in Brahmaji's night? Similarly, exactly like our day and night. Here also what? In during the day, we have the world comes, shines. I had to explain a lot. It's time. I was so overwhelmed, so I forgot the time also today. I'll stop the class. We'll continue next class. I'll send you a small note so that you'll remember all those calculations. In fact, Bhagavatam discusses very beautifully, much more beautifully than this. Here we have Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. Krishna mentions enough for us to understand. Srimad Bhagavatam talks about Hiranyagarbha's all yugas more descriptively. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Tat Sat. Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om.